Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
106.7 The Nats has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Good morning and welcome to Nationals Park, where we are broadcasting live in a vacant facility, the calm before the proverbial storm. Tonight, there will be 40,000-plus Nationals fans waving red towels and hopefully very few Brewers fans showing up for a wild card game, the first ever of its kind here in D.C.
This is just so counter to everything that baseball normally is, right? And that's okay, by the way. It's exciting. It stinks when it's your squad going through it and it's, you know, stomach churning, your heart's racing all the time. You got that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach. It's an elimination game, not at the end of a series. It's not a game five, and Nats fans are very familiar with those. But this is a one-game thing. We spent 6.5 months figuring out who deserves to be here, and it could be over in an hour. It could be over in an instant. One swing of the bat, one error, one pass ball, one bad call, one good thing that happens, obviously, is possible. It's crazy that this is how they do it, but it's actually a lot of fun. And when it's not your team, it's great theater. When it is your team, it is must-see television. You peel your eyes back and just hope, man. Get here and get loud, Nats fans.
As it ultimately turned out, based on the old format, the Nationals would have been on to the division series.
That's right.
The new format does give you a chance, though, and many times over the Nats and other clubs will benefit from it, to have an opportunity to make the playoffs when you wouldn't have traditionally. But it really is amazing. You know, just in being in the clubhouse yesterday and talking to some of the guys, it does, to your point, work against everything that they've known about baseball for their entire lives. I had a great conversation a few days ago with Ryan Zimmerman about this game and about how in other sports you need more urgency. And urgency in baseball doesn't always necessarily help you. You know, in football, you can't get off to a 19-31 start and be okay. You can't do that even with all the games in basketball and in hockey. You can in baseball because there's always kind of another one. There's always an opportunity in this marathon. Today is the opposite of all that. We're going to talk to Davey Martinez. He'll be on the show in 55 minutes to help us preview tonight's game with the Brewers. One of the unsung heroes of this Nationals team this year, pitching coach Paul Menhart, will be on the show today at 12:45. Want to get a feel from him on how he thinks Max Scherzer feels going into the start, what he's expecting from Scherzer. Strasburg could be pitching out of the pen tonight, what he'll tell him and what kind of things Strasburg will have to do to have success in a role he is not accustomed to and has not executed since his freshman year at San Diego State. You'll also hear from Hunter Strickland today, part of that reworked bullpen, a lot of pressure on those guys in a must-have game tonight. And we'll also talk to Dave Jagler coming up in about an hour and a half. And Joe Girardi, who has managed in elimination games, who has been a part of postseason runs, who has won a World Series championship. He'll be on Grant and Danny today at 1 o'clock. So we are jam-packed with Nats content. But you got what you wanted. After 19-31, the hope, the dream was they could get hot enough just to have a chance in the playoffs. And here they are, and lo and behold, Max Scherzer's on the hill, and they're the favorites tonight to move on to the division series.
Two completely different approaches to this game today. One is going to be dominated by a future Hall of Famer, a rotation, $100 million worth in terms of payroll this year, hundreds of millions over several years. This team, the Nationals, are built on starting pitching. Other things come and go. They are here, and they will compete on an annual basis because they invest in starting pitching. The Milwaukee Brewers are going to do the exact opposite. I don't think Brandon Woodruff is going more than once through the order. Maximum of three innings. If he gets 3-1-2-3 innings, maybe they consider more, but he's only going to go probably a handful of batters, 7, 8, 9 batters. Then you're going to see an army of pitching. Craig Counsell is going to wear out the path from his dugout to the pitcher's mound. He's going to signal for righties, lefties, everything in between. The beer vendor is going to get an inning. Everybody is going to throw for the Milwaukee Brewers today, and if the Nationals have their plan it maybe is a maximum of three, maybe four guys in terms of some specialization. But you've got your bullpen is your weakness if you're the Nationals. Everybody knows that, which is why you make Steven Strasburg available in the bullpen, which is why Patrick Corbin is going to throw an inning or two tonight, presumably. That's the approach. The Brewers are going to play matchups probably starting as early as the third inning. The Nationals are going to ride their best horses.
Yeah, Brandon Woodruff, the starter for the Brewers tonight, has a lot of playoff success already under his belt. Remember, the Brewers last year had their season end in Los Angeles, but made a little playoff run of their own. He pitched in four games and made one start and worked to a 2.19 ERA, and he struck out 20 batters in 12 innings. This year, he was very good. 11-3 record with a 3.62 ERA as a full-time starter.
He's got stuff.
But to your point, though, he does not work deep into games. They don't do anything like Washington does. When Scherzer or Strasburg or Corbin or Anibal Sanchez throw, basically the plan for the Nats is those guys go as deep as they possibly can. Even in the fifth spot in their rotation with Austin Voth or Joe Ross or someone like Eric Fetty, can you give us five? Can you give us six? The Brewers don't really play that game. They have an extra bullpen arm. They've got a bunch of guys that can go two innings at a time. Players like Gio Gonzalez, who used to be back of the rotation starters, who they now use for two innings here or there. And that's kind of the way they do it. It's very new school. It's very forethinking. In fact, in a playoff game last year, believe it or not, Craig Counsell, their manager, who was a really good Brewer and a really good player when I was growing up, he started a guy, pitched him for a batter, and then took him out of the game just to throw off the Dodgers so that they had a bunch of right-handers in their lineup, and then he made a change so that now he brought in a right-hander to face all those right-handers after one batter. They play some mind games. If you're Davey Martinez, it makes it difficult to prepare. But I think, and we'll talk to Martinez at 11 o'clock, and we'll see what he thinks about this, against Milwaukee, you can't worry as much about what they're going to do.
Yep.
It's just got to be what you do. Let's put our best lineup out there. Let's put our horse on the hill, and let's take our shot over nine innings of a crapshoot one-off playoff game. And that's what they're going to do today. A game you'll hear just after 8 o'clock tonight right here on 106.7 The Nats. The first pitch is scheduled for about 8:07, I believe, local time in D.C. Charlie and Dave's pregame at 7:30. We're going to be here. Danny and I are doing a doubleheader today from 6 to 7:30. We'll be on the field for a pregame show during Brewers batting practice. Really going to be great content and a good listen for you guys, so I hope you tune in. I want to circle back real quick to something you just said, though. I've heard a lot of people saying that they think there's a chance that Scherzer, Strasburg, and Corbin all pitch today. And look, there probably is, right? I'm not sitting here saying there's no way that happens.
Uh-huh.
Unless this game goes extras, though, I'd be stunned if that was the case.
Really?
If all three of those guys pitch, the Nats are losing, in my opinion. Think about this. That would mean Scherzer goes how many innings? Five? Something like that?
Yeah.
And then you go to Strasburg for maybe two or one, and Corbin for another one. Something along those lines. To me, the way they win is if Max goes seven innings. If you're asking Strasburg to do something he's never done and Corbin to do something he did years ago but not since, I think asking guys to get out of their comfort zone, the more of that you do tonight, the worse off you're going to be. The mixture for success here, number one, would be a big lead, so you don't have to trust your actual bullpen.
Would be very nice.
But if Max Scherzer goes seven, I don't think we see Strasburg in the eighth or the ninth.
Well, you're right, but I'm not anticipating that. I'm anticipating Max Scherzer redlining. I'm anticipating Max Scherzer understanding that I've got some, you know, this is not a June start here where
right.
If he hands the ball off to Fernando Rodney, who the hell knows what's going to happen. This is a lineup, even without Christian Yelich, it's pretty good. They can take you deep. They can run a little bit. There's some nice diversity in that lineup. I think he's going to, forgive the pun, max effort this thing and probably end up around five innings.
So I think that that's very possible. But my point is, in that case, in four innings.
You don't like the Nats' chances.
Well, not as much as I do if he goes seven.
Oh,
obviously.
Yeah, sure, of course.
But if he goes five and then Strauss goes two, why would you throw Corbin in the eighth over, say, Daniel Hudson? You know, to me, if you get through seven innings without having tapped into your quote-unquote traditional bullpen, uh-huh. whoever that is, then it's Hudson and Doolittle. And you ride or die with those guys. Corbin, not to mention, first innings of games are his bugaboo. He comes out and he always kind of struggles early and he's throwing low below
totally
the strike
fair.
Zone.
Yeah.
To me, I will take my chances the way that Hudson and Doolittle finished the last few days of the season with those guys, whatever way you want to do it based on matchups in the eighth and the ninth. I think you got to get seven innings out of basically Scherzer and Strasburg. That's the way I'm thinking about this.
It makes a lot of sense to me. The reason I do think you'll see Corbin is because of a lack of a left-handed specialist down there. Now, Sean Doolittle is available. Let's call it the seventh inning. Let's say Moustakas is up first or second in the inning. That's their big bopper in the middle of the order. Eric Thames can go deep, obviously. Yasmani Grandal is a guy that can knock it out of the park. So maybe you have Doolittle go in an inning where those guys might be coming up. But just if the timing of the game doesn't work in that way, let's say – they're coming up 1, 2, 3, or two of those three guys will be batting in say, the fifth or the sixth inning. Scherzer's got to come out. That may be where you see Patrick Corbin as a guy that's just nasty against left-handers with that sweeping slider of devastation. And maybe you save Strasburg for 6, 7, and 8. Maybe have him close the game out, Curt Schilling or Randy Johnson-style Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't know. But your point is well seen. The ideal scenario, obviously, is Max goes really deep into this game. We don't have to worry about anything else. But I just see kind of him redlining this thing and maybe running out of steam. And I give the Brewers credit. That's a good offense over there. They're going to make him work. And the idea is to get him out of the game and get those guys that aren't comfortable doing this doing something they're not used to doing.
Yeah, I could see 5 for Max. I think they're in trouble both tonight and moving forward if they have to use all 3. And you got to be able to beat a Brewers team you're a little better than, frankly,
yep,
without having to use your big 3 arms. It would be nice to do that.
I agree with you.
It's a race for Red October in the Nationals' wild card berth. On 106.7 The Nats is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today.
The right-hander sets. He holds and he pitches. Swing, a long drive. Left center field. Way, way back there. Toward the wall. It's a grand slam. Clinching a postseason spot. And Trey Turner is dancing in the dugout, and they are dancing in the stands here at Nationals Park. What a moment for Trey Turner.
Grant and Danny from Nationals Park. This is 106.7 The Nats. It's wild card playoff game tonight right here at Nats Park in front of 40,000 plus. The postseason roster was just announced for the Nationals. Matter of fact, about 4 minutes ago it came out via the team's Twitter account. We will give you that 25-man roster right now. I'll just tell you that the most interesting developments, the Nationals have put a third catcher on the roster in Rowdy Reed. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. Gives you added flexibility if you're Davey Martinez to maybe pinch run for a catcher at some point late in the game.
Or to pinch hit Yan Gomes.
Or to pinch hit Yan Gomes if you want to and not have to worry about burning him or putting him in the game for Kurt Suzuki. Also, remember, Suzuki hadn't been 100%.
No.
They're rolling the dice a little bit that with that elbow, he's going to be okay. So they've kept a third catcher on the roster. And this is just for tonight's game. They'll be able, if they win, to set a new roster for the division series, which is considered the next round. The other thing that stands out to me here is they went with an extra outfielder. So instead of having the traditional 5 outfield spots with 2 bench players, Gerardo Parra and Michael Taylor, they have those guys. But then they also added Andrew Stevenson, who's been exceptional as a pinch hitter this year.
Yeah.
Has great speed, can play defense, so you'll probably see, if they're up in the 8th or the 9th inning, plenty of defensive replacements for the Nationals tonight. And then the last thing I'd point out, Danny, that really surprises me is they're very thin with quote-unquote traditional relievers. That's because they've got Anibal Sanchez who can give them innings tonight. They've obviously got Strasburg and Corbin who can give them innings tonight. So their pitching staff is Scherzer who's going to start. With those other 3 starters, Corbin, Strasburg, and Sanchez. And then among the quote-unquote traditional relievers, they've got Hunter Strickland, Fernando Rodney, Sean Doolittle, Daniel Hudson. And the big surprise to me is they chose Tanner Rainey over Wander Suero for the last bullpen spot. Suero was left off the roster today, who's pitched in huge spots for them in the second half of the year and has been used in higher leverage situations than Tanner Rainey. Rainey in over Suero in the bullpen.
Interesting to me. The stark thing that jumps out at you is, again, the pronounced lack of lefties against the lineup. It's going to be predominantly left-handed tonight. So that's kind of an advantage there for the Brewers. In the past, they've expressed that they like Wander Suero relative to the other righties against lefties because that cutter breaking in under lefties' hands and, you know, his developing changeup and the like. Rainey, to me, is there for Ryan Braun want to get your take on that because, you know, Braun is going to play. He'll be in the lineup. That's their most pronounced right-handed hitter, a guy that can obviously bop one. Maybe, you know, you'd see him for Hira or something like that. But to me, it's for he'd be there to get maybe one out, and that's a Ryan Braun in a big spot with that fastball-slider combo.
I can see it, but my surprise is not that they kept a right-hander.
That's that right-hander over Suero?
Yeah, and right. I'm a big believer in Tanner Rainey's stuff. I love his fastball, his breaking ball, and his strikeout rate. I mean, this is a guy that really doesn't get hit. If you look at the numbers, the peripheral numbers for him this year, he did not have a batting average against that would worry you. But he does walk a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Down the stretch, he was better at throwing strikes. His last three appearances, twice against the Phillies, once against the Indians, three innings hitless with five strikeouts. And maybe he forced his way onto the roster with those appearances.
His September numbers are really good.
Yeah, they love what they saw, perhaps. You tell me, who would you trust more? Runners on second and third with two outs coming into a game to get Ryan Braun, Rainey or Suero? To me, the answer would be Suero.
Suero's my answer.
So that's why it's a surprise to me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm not debating that part of it. So that's – I think maybe they haven't liked what they've seen lately here from Suero throwing the ball. I'm just trying to speculate here, thinking about it. Maybe a few too many – you know, I think the time he came in and threw a pickoff errant the other day, and maybe they're just they feel maybe he's overworked.
By the way, he's afraid. Done that three times.
Yeah.
In the last, I would say conservatively 3 to 4 weeks, maybe a month, but I think it's even less, maybe 2 weeks. He had three balls he threw to first get away from the first baseman lately.
So
it's become a problem.
September numbers, ERA well over four. I mean, it's a small sample size in 14 games, but the strikeout rate has gone down a little bit. Batting average against has gone up a little bit. Throwing a few more balls. Maybe, I don't know. I would rather, in that situation you alluded to, and it's the playoffs, it's a playing game, whatever you want to call it, there's going to be that kind of circumstance. I'd probably default to Suero just because some of the deposits in the bank, but the way they're throwing the ball right now, Rainey's been better lately.
I love, though, going heavy position player over extra bullpen arms, particularly with Scherzer on the hill. Even if you were to say the sum of all fear situation takes place and, like, Max gets hit with a comebacker and has to leave in the first or second inning, You've got Strasburg, and now it's just a traditional start for him almost, right? You've got Corbin. Those guys can give you length. If you got into and I hope this doesn't happen because it'd be excruciating, but a 14 or 15-inning game tonight where last year the play-in game was 13 innings between the Cubs and these Brewers, I believe, but I don't remember who the Cubs were playing last year. But 13-inning game last year, Danny, to play into the postseason. And in that game, you had to go to your bullpen and start to have some length on the back end. So you'll use – maybe you save Sanchez for that. Perhaps it's Corbin. I'm not really sure. Like you said, maybe he comes in and just tries to get a lefty out. I am hesitant, though, about – like everyone acts like you could just – well, you got a lefty at the plate, so bring in the lefty starter who's never done this before and ask him to get a lefty out and throw three pitches and get out of the inning. It's just not that easy.
No, it's a different
We've
mindset.
We've seen Scherzer do this against the Cubs.
That's right.
It's a whole different world. So this, I've got a great starting pitcher, and his stuff's going to be elevated, and he's going to come in and dominate tonight. I have nerves about that, but I love going with extra position players in
this
a
kind of matchup,
one-game roster.
Well, yeah, for this one specifically, again, because you know what Craig Counsell's going to do. You know that they're using their entire deployment of relievers. You're going to see guys that used to be starters, guys like Drew Pomeranz. They said that Gio Gonzalez was not available after throwing on Saturday. Well, Patrick Corbin threw Saturday, and he is available. So we'll see what that means. I wonder if that's just gamesmanship. But you know the way that they're going to deploy it, so you want to be able to match up a little bit. I think that's smart, given the way that you're built. And you've got enough bullpen guys. Well, you'll see some of those high-leverage bullpen arms in certain spots. But this, to me, is almost this is where our strength might be relative to yours. The Nationals' bench is really good, regardless of who's on it. Let's say Howie Kendrick doesn't start. That's an asset. Let's say Ryan Zimmerman doesn't start. That's an asset.
Right.
Matt Adams, et cetera. I'd love to be able to say, okay, that's fine. You want to do this, well, we can do that.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Nats from Nationals Park. Dave Jagler is scheduled to join us at 11:30 today. Looking forward to catching up with him. Next, there was a story in the Washington Post last night with a report on a contract offer for Anthony Rendon. How good of an offer was it? Is it going to be enough potentially to keep him from getting to the market? We'll give you the details as we continue this race for a Red October. The Nats wild card berth is on the fan, presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI, PVI.com. NatsHistory.com today. Davey Martinez in 30 minutes on Grant and Danny.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wander Suero pitched in 78 games this year, almost half of the Nationals games, second most in the league. And he has left off today's wild card roster. Scuffled a bit down the stretch, and he probably got burnt out, frankly. Rainey was certainly better at the end of the year than he was. A little bit surprising, though, that Suero, who was their go-to guy for so much of this season, is not going to be on the roster. And it's not like he was lights out or dominant by any means, so it doesn't matter that much. It's two guys that, frankly, I don't know how much you trust either of them with a one-run lead to pitch a big inning tonight or in this division series coming up if you get through tonight against the Dodgers. But you clearly favored one guy all season long in Suero, and then this game comes tonight, and Rainey has moved ahead of him in the pecking order. It is 106.7 the Nats. We're at Nationals Park. The roster is out. A third catcher, Rowdy Reed, is in. An extra outfielder, Andrew Stevenson, is going to be on the roster tonight. And then in the bullpen, shorter number of arms maybe than you would have expected, with the big difference being no Suero. That's kind of the lay of the land. Last night, the Washington Post came out with a report. Barrios Faluga had in the paper this morning. Anthony Rendon has been offered a seven-year, $210 million deal by the Nationals. That's a big contract, and I think the first thing you got to do is give them a little bit of credit for offering something that is market value. This is better than any offer they ever extended Bryce Harper, $30 million a year for Rendon. It's not enough to keep him from going to market, obviously, this late in the 11th hour. He's going to be a free agent soon, and he can make more than $30 million a year. And he's going to make way more, in my opinion, than $210 to $215 million. Here's what stood out to me about the report, though. Deferred money again. Now, they're doing it differently, and it was clearly based from the national side, not Rendon's side, because if you read the story, they point out that the deferred money is not like the Bryce Harper deferred money, but the deferred money is like the Max Scherzer deferred money, and within 10 years or whatever it is, after he's done playing, he'll have made all his money. That's great. Anthony Rendon, when he came on our show, I thought made it fairly clear. He didn't say it in these words, but my takeaway was he doesn't want any deferred money.
Right.
There's still deferred money. 7 years, $210 to $215 million, with money that gets pushed back after the fact. I don't think that would get it done, by the way. If it was 215, the highest end of what Spurluga floated as the offer being, and it was all up front, and there was no deferred money, I still think he goes to market. It's going to take more than that. But the deferred money thing, I know it's not my money. It's still just, it gets to me. Other teams don't do this as often as the Nationals do. It's their move. I know Max Scherzer didn't seem to care. A lot of guys don't like the deferred money.
It's an accounting thing, and there's a reason that they do it, because it helps their books. I don't need your books to be helped. I need the great player to stay in town.
I need Anthony Rendon to hit 300 with 30 bombs next year.
It's the timing is very interesting to me, because the Nationals, and I'm not ripping anybody here, because the most important thing is they're playing a play-in or wild card game or whatever you want to call it tonight, and we're focused on that, obviously, but this is a major story. The timing is a, look, see, we tried to do it, right? We're trying to get this done. And any offer they make now, or in this case, it sounds like it was a couple weeks ago, a few weeks ago, a part of September, to me is only now leverage. Because it's so late in the game that if you're Anthony Rendon, you would go, thank you so much for your offer. I'll let you know.
Right.
Because that's now your baseline. That's now what Scott Boras, and this is the playbook for Scott Boras, is to shop around. They'll use 215. He'll just say 215. He won't mention deferred money, by the way, but he'll say $215 million. Who can be 215? Can you be 215? Who can do 215?
Rangers,
here's
go.
Texas.
I got 225.
225 in Texas. Who can give me? Who can give me 230?
Braves. I got 230.
Braves 230. Who can give me 230? Looking at you, Philadelphia.
Mets. I got 235.
And it's all going to start to go up.
Yeah.
And that's where it is. Any offer that's given now is leverage. What should have happened was this should have happened before, and then maybe you get this deal done. But now it's too late.
Yeah. If you offer him before the season started, 7 and 215, I think he signs that deal. before his career year, going into another season. He misses time each year. He never knows when he's going to be healthy, when he isn't. Now, maybe he doesn't. Maybe Boris is his advice, as his advisor says, you know, let's bet on yourself here. A couple guys just got $300 million. You're a more complete player than Bryce. You're not that far off from Manny Machado. We're not going to get $300 million, but we can get $250, $260. Maybe he says no, but you would have had a chance. I think there's a real good chance he would have signed this in spring training. There's no way he signs it now. But, again, I do want to at least commend the team.
Absolutely.
Because they're playing ball. And this is a very clear indication to me that they will engage in bidding for Anthony Rendon because they want him back. I always thought they didn't want Bryce Harper back. The conversations we had privately, the things that you heard publicly, everyone told me they're fine if Bryce comes back, but they're not going to bend over backwards to make it happen.
They can come back on our terms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With Rendon, 7-210 to start the whole thing before the playoffs even begin, tell me they're going to be more willing to follow him to the end of the earth, to kind of run down this path. And as other teams are throwing those paddles up in the bidding that you're talking about, the Nats are going to keep throwing theirs up as well. Whether they keep him or not when you get to market, I always assume you're not coming back. I just think that you had a long time to get it done. If you really wanted to be there and they really wanted you, they would have figured it out. So I always assume when you become a free agent, you leave. But it's possible they can just outbid everybody or equal the highest bid.
But to me, that's what's going to have
bring
to happen.
Him back.
It's not a before. Now, I could be wrong, but to me, it's going to have to happen that way. Because Anthony Rendon gave us his car analogy.
Well, he's going to the market.
He's going to the market, right?
Put that in the bank.
The analogy he used was if you could, and I'm paraphrasing here, but if you're told you're going to buy a car and you could stay on one lot or you could look at all the other lots in town, what would you do? And, of course, that you would sample multiple lots because you've earned that right. You've gotten to this point where you can afford to do that, and I think that's the case. I think if this was going to get done, it would have already been done. But you're right. The Nationals, at least at this point, maybe kind of, I don't want to say came to their senses, but they realized, oh, my gosh, this is going to take something very serious, and that's a nice opening. If that's best and final, as it was with Bryce, where they said, this is the best we can do. We're really excited about giving you this offer. We'd love to have you back. You're our guy. Here it is. And they went, oh, okay.
What's the benefit of this coming out now? I couldn't stop thinking about that last night. I always wonder who leaked this. And it's got to be the team, I would think, more than Boris.
It feels team to me.
But I mean, maybe it was the agent. But why would you want your client to be distracted going into the playoff game? I'm not sure about the timing. I'm trying to figure out what the point of that would have been. I mean, this is something I want to put delicately, and today's not the day to have this conversation, but then when is the day? This is the last game, potentially, of the year. We could be watching Anthony Rendon's final game as a National tonight.
Right.
We could be watching Steven Strasburg's final game as a National tonight.
The drama I've been beating.
He could opt out. In fact, I was told by an executive with another ball club in Major League Baseball, they'd be shocked if he didn't opt out. Shocked is the word that they used. Now, they also said he might just hold the Nats over the barrel for more money, essentially, and use that as his opt out and get a bigger contract and stay in Washington. But he could be gone. And Ryan Zimmerman, Mr. National, a guy who's been around since the beginning, their first draft pick. This could be his last game as well. They're not picking up his option for next year. Now, he wants to come back on the cheap, and presumably they could bring him back for a year at a few million bucks.
Kind of a platoon role, him and Matt Adams.
But think about that.
Yeah.
If they lose tonight, months and months of kind of hoping and scratching and clawing that we get to see playoff baseball could be gone in the span of a couple of hours, and maybe we could be waving goodbye to Rendon, Strasburg, and Zimmerman in the process.
All plausible.
And it's crazy
again,
nobody's
acknowledged that, right? I mean, the Rendon thing is much documented, but all along, a lot of people have assumed that, no, Steven Strasburg will be back. Well, maybe. I mean, they put this opt-out in there for a reason. This is what the bet was, right? The reason you put an opt-out in there, and he probably sacrificed some dollars at some point to do that, his cap number, I say cap, I know it's different in baseball, but bear with me. His cap number is very low for the couple seasons after this. Then he's got a $43 million lump payment kind of at the end, again, in terms of his cap figure. But the reason you do this is you're betting on yourself. If you aren't healthy, if things keep creeping up, if you've got to miss some time with your shoulder, your back, your knee, your this, your that, then you've got the security of those years coming to you. If you do what he's done really this year, and most of last year to be honest too, where you make your almost 60 starts, you go, I'll probably be able to get more if I opt out. So you opt out. it's very reasonable to me, and it's always been that way. Kind of looking ahead to these next 2 years, he can opt at either one.
It makes tonight and this October so much more important, because if you lose Rendon, you're losing several wins. If you lose Strasburg, you're losing several more wins. And clearly they'll have an offseason to try to clean up the mess if those two guys are gone. But this team would not be the same, and the Braves are only getting better. The Mets aren't going anywhere. The Phillies are going to be improved. These playoff chances that you've had year in and year out are going to be fleeting without those two guys in the future if you're not able to come to agreements with them, if that's what happens. The race for Red October is turned into a wild card game tonight. The Nats wild card berth is on 106.7. The Nats presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI.com today. The Post reporting 7 years, $210 to $215 million, the offer for Anthony Rendon. What's your reaction to that? Why do you think that came out now? And what do you think happens with Rendon? We'll only do a segment on this because we want to get back into the game. We got Davey Martinez coming up at 11. Maybe today's not the best day for it, but the breaking news of the morning is that Rendon got a big offer from Washington. Grant and Danny from Nats Park on 106.7 The Nats. Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, Doolittle, and Hudson, that's the list. I think if you go 9 innings, that's probably fair. Again, I would do everything I can to stay off of Corbin, but I think I can get 9 innings out of Scherzer, Strasburg, Doolittle, and Hudson. I would really want to use those four guys. We'll get into the strategy of the game coming up next hour. Davey Martinez is going to join us at 11 in 10 minutes. And at 11:18 or so, we'll start to talk about expectations for Max Scherzer, how you would go about aligning the bullpen after him. But the question is on Anthony Rendon. The report came out last night, 7 years, $210 million. Phones are open first time today at 800-636-1067. That's not going to get it done. Everybody knows that. I think, though, if you offered him right now 7 and 265, which could eventually be what gets it done, that he's not going to accept that either. He's just too close to the market. He's going to go test it out. Why not? But to me, that's along the lines of what they should offer before he hits the market. 7 and 215 is cute. 7 and around 260, 7 and 2, something along those lines. You get him into that Arenado mold, make him one of the higher paid players in the infield in baseball by way of annual average value, and let him know for sure that you want to bring him back. But Chip is in Burke, wants to hop in. Chip, today could be the final day of baseball for the Nats, and that would mean the last game of Rendon, Strasburg, Zimmerman potentially here at Nats Park.
Yeah. Hey, look, thanks for taking the call. I would say if this is the last game for Anthony Rendon as a National, that would be a sad day for our city, for the franchise, for the organization, and definitely for the team. But here's my thought. Mike Rizzo is not an idiot. And the fact that the Zimmerman contract, the Rendon contract, the Strasburg option clause, and oh, by the way, not being talked about is another option clause for Strasburg in a year or two.
Yeah, next year.
Those things are not happening by accident. And so I think a possible scenario is, and I would also say Mike Rizzo is not an idiot. I do not think that anybody in the Nationals, certainly not with authority, leaked any contract news on the eve of this wild card game. But I could see potentially Zimmerman walking away to the American League as a DH, and thank you, Ryan, or potentially staying in a comfort zone of his state and his city for significantly less money, and that money being used to further entice, attract, and sign Rendon. And they say to Boris and Strasburg, hey, we love Steven, and here is an additional year or two of where you are now. And if things continue in a positive, healthy trend, we'll look at increasing years or dollar value the next time Steven comes up for an option clause in his contract.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you, buddy.
You, man. So, again, it's easy to say with the Nationals, well, if they don't spend it on this, they'll spend it on that. I don't really play that game with them anymore necessarily, right? I mean, remember the whole pretense of if they don't pay Bryce Harper, they'll use that money for .. Well, that hasn't happened. I mean, they –
Well, they used the money for Patrick Corbin. That worked pretty well.
It has worked very well, and hopefully it continues to work very well. But
the point was they're going to sign Rendon and Turner.
Right.
If they didn't sign Bryce, and they haven't signed Rendon.
And they haven't done it. So now if they don't sign Rendon, what's it? The point is Mike Rizzo is not an idiot. You're right. And some of these things, in order to get deals done, you have to have certain concessions. Some of those concessions are opt-out clauses. It's more commonplace now than it was. No-trade clauses are common unless you're Bryce Harper. Then, of course, you, quote, asked for a no-trade clause to be stuck in Philadelphia for 13 years. I'm sure that's exactly how it happened. But for me, the Nationals – Mike Rizzo's got a plan, A, B, C, all the way through, like, double Z. He's got all the letters that you could take care of, and then probably there's some number codes after that. He is not dumb. But sometimes he's got to work with an ownership group that moves like molasses, uphill in a headwind. For, you know, we know Mark Warner, we think of Mark Warner, but this is a big committee approach where they get together, there's a whole family involved, and everybody
round table
and talks
voices.
About things. And sometimes Ted just says, no, we're doing this, I'm signing Matt Wieters. It's complicated. To navigate
and
manage
that's upwards. A mistake I think people make in general is with every move that's made here is they go, well, Rizzo knows what he's doing. Not all these moves are made by Rizzo. Rizzo's the guy that runs the team most of the time, and we don't know when those times aren't,
right.
When it's not a baseball decision, when it's a business decision. Tom's in Manassas on Grant and Danny. We're live at Nats Park. Wild card playoff game tonight. What's up, Tom?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good day to be at the ballpark. Definitely jealous. Yeah, I think the timing of the story is a little fishy to me. I feel like this organization's at a crossroads, especially with the fan base, and I have no confidence in this ownership group to overpay or even pay market value. So let's just say we lose all those three guys. Like, what's the fan base going to be like next year? I think we're out of the luxury tax next year. I just want to see them go for it. I want to see them spend money. Pay Rendon over market if you have to, and let's go for it. You know, but I feel it's fishy. I just don't like where it's going. I got a bad feeling this is it for Rendon. So I hope not.
But we're going to leave the Rendon, Strasburg, Zimmerman futures on the table for now. Mm-hmm. Something that I think had to be discussed today before this game just because
the news broke, yeah.
The news, number one, but also if this is the final game for these guys, we need to go into it knowing to kind of enjoy watching them one last time.
Nice recognition on Sunday when Zim came up for a pinch-hitting appearance. People knew that might be his last regular season game. Huge ovation in the ballpark. Struck out on three pitches, but people gave him a nice clap, kind of acknowledging that might be it.
Let's get into the game from here on out. And tonight and what October could hold for this team. It'll start with Davey Martinez at the top of the hour in 5 minutes, the manager of the Nationals on Grant and Danny, right here on 106.7 The Nats from Nationals Park.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.